saint. We are concerned with our health. There was a common proverb, a healthy mind in a healthy body. Our subject is the philosophy of homeopathy, not the science of homeopathy. In the conventional sense of a homeopathic physician, what are his requirements and all that. Technical side of it is not our purpose. Want to project the concept of homeopathy and the concepts in theosophy, how they coincide literally. The philosophy of homeopathy. And now, in the reading, we have taken the section on mind. There is no mention of health and disease. Why? Because the mind is the key to the man. Man is what the mind makes of it. And here in our reading, the 24th item in the pamphlet with you, we are told, mind is the key to the man. James Tyler Kemp, he was a homeopathic physician par excellence. Mind is the man, by Stuart Close, another homeopathic scientific physician. Remember, homeopathic are essentially physicians, secondarily homeopaths. Before one becomes a physician, one is the man before he became the physician. So man, the philosopher, and man, the scientist, are rolled into one. There can be no science without philosophy as its background. Plato, Albert Schweitzer, in this reading on page 24, we are told mind is the key to the man, mind is the man, and whether we realize it or not, we are externalized thought. And thought habits are the surest guides to your homeopathic remedy. If a homeopathic physician is necessary, he must have a knowledge of psychology, must have a knowledge of medicine, must have knowledge of the remedies in the natural kingdoms of nature, plants, minerals, vegetables, animals, and imponderable realms of nature, electricity, magnetism, radium, which are all electromagnetic elements of Mother Nature. So we are externalized thought. Look, Lord Buddha says, all that we are is the result of what we have thought. All that we are is founded on our thoughts. If a man speaks or acts with the evil thought, pain pursues him as the wheel of the wagon follows the hoof of the ox. We are told by Mr. Judge, we are not able to have the hands on it, we'll see later on. Here it is. Let us make our thoughts and desires pure. Here is the ethical element for a physician. Let us make our thoughts and desires pure. Our thoughts are the matrix, the mind, fountain, the source of all that we are and of all that we may be. Ethics are the soul of wisdom delivered. Therefore, a student, a physician, he, to whatever school of the art of healing belongs, has to be ethical in his living the life. The man, as a physician, in his chamber or consulting room, is the same man who is in the house and with his family, or the same man with his society in general. So man is the center. Fusion only a periphery, at a particular moment of time, when it uses that line of thought to endeavor to feed himself to become in subsequent points of time the true healer of the man. Medicine is a branch of knowledge, biology, and knowledge is all pervading. So here we have got science, religion, philosophy, and theosophy as the synthesis. Science, that knowledge which pertains to the objective universe amenable to our finite sensory perception. Five senses bring the information processed by the mind, the physical brain, transmitted to the mind, the perceiver within. Sensations come, perceived by our body, but they do not belong to the body. Body, sensations are mere conveyors. The real perceptual center in man is the astral body, about which science knows nothing, except perhaps in the field of alien photography, where the astral images can be photographed and they have a sense of it. So we are told it is a philosophy of homeopathic we are dealing with, not the technical aspect of homeopathic practice. It belongs to the physician. Not many homeopathic physicians are aware of the great book by Samuel Hahnemann, The Life and Letters of Samuel Hahnemann, in two volumes. And the first volume gives you Hahnemann in his various aspects, facets and dimensions, embodying within him the highest concepts his theosophical philosophy embodies. Word to word, one can see homeopathic philosophy in line and consonance with the theosophical philosophy. Therefore, great teachers and yogis in our India, the great philosophers, munis, who comes to the physician, they are well acquainted with the philosophy of homeopathy, because it is subtle. It uses energy and not substance. Homeopathy does not use substance, but energy. Energy and matter are correlated. Einstein. And it is Einstein who speaks of the mystical element in human nature, to which he bows. So here we have got, what is the philosophy? How you define philosophy? And we are told, philosophy has been called the queen of sciences. Philosophy is defined as the knowledge of phenomena explained by and resolved into causes and reasons, powers and laws. When they are applied to God or gods, it becomes theology. We are now going to the various branches of knowledge in philosophy. When applied to material nature, it is called physics and natural history. There were two sciences earlier, natural sciences and physical sciences. Physical sciences are those which deal with arithmetic, mathematics, the most exact science. Arithmetic, geometry, trigonometry and statistics. When natural sciences deal with natural substances of organic matter, those are botany, zoology and anthropology, science of man, knowledge of man, philosophy of man. When concerned with man, it is an anthropology and psychology. And psychology is the science of the psyche in man. Science is knowledge of the soma, the body in man, anatomy, physiology, drugs and the material, this means pharmacology, all these are branches of science. So you can understand. And the philosophy demands expression of thought. Science demands expression of thought, therefore the language. We have to learn the language of nature when the patient is before us. This language of nature is science of linguistics. The theory of knowledge is the science of epistemology. So all these are the various sciences which are all go into the totality of synthesis, science, religion and philosophy. At the apex is theosophy. It gives you the all these three aspects, three avenues of sensory perception, intellectual dialectics and spiritual intuition. That gives the totality of object which is before our eyes. Homeopathic physician has to be conversant with all these knowledges. Hahnemann says, all the contemporary knowledges available at that particular point in time is a field of investigation by a diligent physician. He quotes what Madame Blavatsky quotes. Homeopathy is not for the lazy, the dullard and the mentally occupied. Exact words by a man of science, and Madame Blavatsky, she speaks somewhere else. In the Key to Theosophy, is not for the lazy, the dullard and the occupied. So this is the thing which is the entire concept, therefore we are told in philosophy of homeopathy. It's based on the law of similars. Law of similarities means like poles attract, unlike poles repel. Magnetism. Therefore, you give the disease for to a diseased person, that drug which causes the disease. It is known as the law of similars. And here we have got in our item the first law is a law of similars. In order to cure the disease, you have to give the same drug which causes the disease. The physician's high only mission is to restore the sick to health, to cure as it is termed, Organon of medicine. It's the philosophy of Organon summing up the entire philosophy. Organon of logic was coined by Francis Bacon, the great logician, you see, and from that the word has been given Organon of medicine. The right remedy laced with care, concern, compassion leads to cure. The highest ideal of a cure is rapid, gentle and permanent restoration of health in all its entire composition. Therefore we must know man, what he is. What are you curing? Are you curing the body of disease? Are you curing the mind? Are you curing his nature? What are you doing? We may cure the disease, but the man remains the same human being. The highest ideal of a cure is rapid, gentle and permanent restoration of the health or removal and annihilation of the disease in its whole extent in the shortest, most possible, reliable and harmless way, based on comprehensible principles. Homeopathy demands a small dose. Do you get the point? And so our teacher, Dr. R.N. Cooper in KEM Hospital, used to pack a joke. Go to homeopath. He will give you sago grains. Means small things, like sago grains. Homeopaths are a butt of, or shall we say, jokes. Doctors and dentists are a butt of all jokes. There is actual book on jokes on doctors and dentists. And homeopaths have been hounded all over the globe, not only in India but anywhere else, because it is departure from the conventional line. Whenever anyone goes from departure of conventional lines, he is bound to come up against opposition from all quarters, just like Madame Blavatsky, who mentioned in the first mental work, Isis Unveiled, all the opposite elements that will come against her in her life. From the spiritualists, the scientists, the materialists and all that. One thing is definite, in allopathy there is no philosophy. But such was not the case with ancient physicians who called themselves philosopher physicians. Philosopher physicians. And here you have got in this, see item number 2. To dare, to know, to will and remain silent. This is what is, you have to dare to go against convention. Don't forget, it's a terrible thing. against established order, against established customs, conventions and traditions. You try to depart, you have hell. Be prepared for it. There, to win, remain silent. A whole lot of opposition comes against you, which Madame Blavatsky felt. As she said, she was a lightning conductor. She was a theosophical manure. This happens to all the philosophical physicians. Look at the whole line of homeopathic physicians who have been persecuted, tortured. Paracelsus was murdered. The greatest occultist of the medieval period, says Madame Blavatsky in the Theosophical Glossary, and he was the greatest physician of the medieval period, who gave medicines and cured incurable diseases. To be beneficent, unselfish, unpretending, was spontaneous impulses, constant rule with the philosopher physician and true magicians of the old, Paracelsus, Cornelius Agrippa, and Philalethes, the alchemist Thomas Bauer. Socrates and Aristotle were great physicians in those times as well. And who was the father of modern medicine? The Greek philosopher Hippocrates, 600 BC. That was the point in time when there was spiritual and an intellectual renaissance in ancient Greece. There were Socrates, Aristotle, Pythagoras and Plato. There was Empedocles, Parmenides and Epictetus and other philosophers of Greece at that time. When there was a surge of spiritual renaissance in ancient honorable Iran or Persia, Lord Zarathustra. In India, Lord Mahavira and Gautam Buddha. In ancient honorable China, that was the period of Confucius and Lao Tse. Most of our physicians concerned with the body because human being suffers. But there is a behind the body, everybody forgets. Disease filters from the inner to the outer. Through the astral, the link. Through the mind is the essential cause of disease. It was Plato and Socrates who told us about the causes of disease. Essential, efficient, formal, material. Socrates, Aristotle. And Aristotle was followed by Francis Bacon. Unless we go from the universals and generals to the particulars, the deductive method of Plato, we will not be able to understand the totality of man before we can understand the disease process. And experience is the best teacher. We are told, pure experience is the sole and infallible oracle of the healing art. So the law of similars. Then there is the experience of drug provings. We have used remedies which are there in nature. Nothing exists which is not medicine. Look, Charaka says, item 14, a physician who does not enter into the inner soul of the man cannot diagnose and treat disease of the person. Every true philosopher physician says, you cannot treat disease without treating the man. There is the man, the individual, the sufferer, the concrete reality. Disease is the abstract symbol, signs, symptoms, etc. And see the paradox of disease, paradox of modern science. As we are advancing in technology, diseases are multiplying. Medical books are bulky. On top of natural diseases, there are artificial diseases imposed by drugs and doctors called iatrogenic disorders. And there are a bulky book on iatrogenic disorders of more than 300 pages. And more than 300 iatrogenic diseases induced by drugs, modern drugs, which use drugs which itself cause disease. Cancer. Previously, it was plague. Later on, it was gonorrhea and syphilis. Now it is cancer. What psyche produces pathology in the body? Everything is connected. From here to here, all things in the mother nature are connected by electromagnetic tag, the law of universal sympathy and antipathy, centrifugal force and centripetal force, from the center to the periphery, from the periphery to the center. Disease evolves from within outwards, centrifugal, expresses from periphery to the center. So healing takes place from within to without, from the center to the periphery. Mind has to heal first before the body can heal. The mind is the slayer of the real. Mind is not of the heart. At the same time, mind is the redeemer. Therefore, vigilance, mind, twin verses, Lord Buddha emphasizes. We have taken the reading from this. Buddha was not a philosopher, but all great teachers are healers in that sense, that they treat the soul and not the body, as Plato says here in our reading. This is the great mistake of the physicians of the day. They treat the disease, the body, without treating the soul. Plato, 500 years BC. Modern science began with 500 years BC from Hippocrates. And Hippocrates was a philosopher physician. Look what he says. Anyway, this is the one thing which we have to bear in mind. What is health? Health is a state of dynamic state of stable equilibrium. So equilibrium with the body, within as well as without. Disease is the disturbance of the state of equilibrium. What is disease first? Disease is the life force, the vital force which animates the whole organism. The vital force of Hanuman, vital force of Paracelsus is the, what we may say in theosophical parlance, in the Vedanta, prana, life energy that permeates the whole body. So you must know man. You have got the spirit in man, divine Atma. You have got that vehicle which expresses it through, an expression of it, a passive vehicle which is buddhi, discrimination. Thinking man, mind, manas, the thinker. All this knowledge is there in the field of homeopathy. We have never thought that man has got these principles in him. We were never taught anything about philosophy. When I passed out from the KM hospital in the year 1951, there was no psychology subject. It was just coming up. You get the point. Whereas when we enter the field of homeopathy, first thing taught is psychology of the spiritual man within, the watcher and the silent thinker, the victim of the lower self. We are taught in homeopathy that way. Taught means not in the medical college of homeopathy, but the students' investigation of the homeopathic literature, which is immense. Immense materia medica, immense philosophical background. The lives, if you read the lives of various physicians, what they have sacrificed, their lives they have given. They injected this to produce syphilis. One German physician, Patton Kofer, swallowed a life full, glass full of cholera germs. He swallowed it to understand what happens and proved that nothing can touch the man unless he is pure. If he is pure, he cannot be touched. And the bacteriological theory was proved wrong. But this is an experiment, he had to do it. Will you try to prove immunology, which is natural immunity, will take care of the germs? Primarily, the disease is within. Secondarily, the external factors come into play. If there is immunity within you, no germs, however deadly, can affect them. You are so many. Edward Jenner vaccinated himself to find out what is what. These are some of the great figures of human history, and we are told about this vital force. Look on item 6. In the healthy condition of man, the spiritual vital force, autocracy, the dynamics that animates the material body, rules with unbounded sway and retains all the parts of the organism in admirable, harmonious, vital operation as regards sensations and functions, so that our indwelling, reason-gifted mind can freely employ this living, healthy instrument. Every word is important for the higher purposes of our existence. Higher purpose, we never heard the word. We enter the medical college, and then, of course, the idea is materialistic, fully. Allopathy is true to materialistic, which was not meant to be. It has become so now. Our older physicians, even in this 20th century, were not so. Is the virus inherited from the West that they have become contaminated? And today the emphasis on investigation is like anything, irrespective of the financial condition of the patient. Every alternate day, every third day, every fourth day, the same thing repeated over and over again. We were taught only the essential investigation have to be ordered, keeping in mind the financial viability of the patient. In practice, it unfortunately is what you all must have experienced. The main difference between allopathy and homeopathy. Homeopathy denies the existence of the astral body within the physical. It's a filtration process. A clairvoyant can see the disease entering into the body before the disease actualizes on the physical body. All faculties of thought, perception, action are inherent in man. Then you can see the disease appearing before it is surfaces on the body. For visual sensory perception, there is extrasensory perception and there is intuitive perceptions which ancient physicians didn't have. We have lost the faculty because we have lost the purity of our consciousness in thought, word, feeling and motivation. The patient is before us, do what you can. Whatever the requirements of natural living will be provided by karma. The competitive spirit is not there in philosophers or physicians. Another important difference between allopathy and homeopathy is each man is individual. Distinct individuality is separate from the other. Typhoid, everybody will receive chloromycetic, and now everybody is receiving Cifran. You know, and they use the same ingredient, the drug, pharmacological drug, under different labels, and patient thinks they are different, whereas they are old wine in new bottles. People are glamorized by the technological horizontal advance, but what about the vertical depth? And do you know what great scientist the healing. How does healing take place? Not by drugs. In homeopathy, the healing takes place by natural healing force in nature. The vital force which is there, healthy vital force, becomes disease vital force. The remedy, similar remedy is given. It neutralizes the disease vital force which has suppressed the healthy natural vital force. When that is neutralized, similarities neutralized, two opposing forces, then the natural healing force takes place. This is what Paracelsus called the vix medicatrix naturae, natural healing force in short. Now, this Paracelsus on item number 18, three spirits leave an educated man. Three words pour their beams upon him. All three only as the image and the echo of one and the same all constructing and uniting principle of production. The first was spirit of the elements. Elements means terrestrial body and the vital force. Vital force is the prana. Disease is vitiated prana. Prana can be vitiated by our thought, feeling, desire complex, the mind. Thoughts, feeling, desire and motive can be high, can be low. Higher this liberates the body, but the lower feelings, thoughts, desires impress upon the lives of this physical body, elements, earth, air, water, fire, of the alchemists, and elements, carbon, nitrogen, hydrogen, oxygen, in the cell of the body. Everything is altered. Disease is altered prana, life force. Cure is life force restored to health. Healthy life force once more is material. Without leaving behind the residue of side effects, toxic effects of drugs. A potentialized drug is only energy. Energy, different vibration, frequency and amplitude. See now, how scientific this is. A wave, it has an up, then it down, again up, then it frequency and amplitude, high or low. Intensity of force and the quality of the force. And all this life, consciousness, feeling, throbbing, pulsating. It is energy to energy encounter. You get the point. This is the philosophy. In medical colleges, this is not taught. It's considered as fools. Having the throbbing, pulsating philosophy in word, just giving drugs without establishing the similarity is a tremendous process. Requires all the qualitative, intellectual and discriminating faculty of the physician. Unless we develop that, we cannot practice homeopathy. It's difficult. If you cannot cure incurable cases, at least you can palliate, you can relieve the suffering of the patient. We cannot cure everything. And today's diseases are multiplying. Three cancers in the same person at one time or in separate portions of time. How much is the insult to the body we have made, insult to our consciousness that we have made, that deviating from the path of divinity, going away, away, away from the core of existence, from the central star that burns within. Disease is departure from that source. Healing is approximation towards the source. Many patients, dying patients, when we encounter them, there is a book written by Manu Kothari and Lopa Mehta, both were anatomists at KM Hospital. The Dead and the Dying, that is the name of the book. You read that and you see what insight the patients get through their disease. That disease has opened their eyes and they see that life is a mission. The physician's object is to perform the mission, the vision, And without the purity of consciousness, you cannot heal. You can do the malampati. Suppress the symptoms, they will go up into another channel. You cannot suppress energy, but you have to harness it in the right channel towards the higher purpose of existence. And in this book, Hanuman appears as a man, as a philosopher, as a physician throughout his life, and then as a homeopath. Paracelsus and Hanuman were persecuted to such an extent that they had to go from house to house. Ultimately, he died in Paris after his second marriage. There's another story. He married second time at the age of 79. He died at the age of 89. And remember, lives of great men remind us, lives of great men remind us, and they leave behind footprints on the sands of time. Remember, lives of great men remind us what the things we have to do, and they leave behind footprints on the sands of time. Now, this healing force, we are told, look on page item 17. 16 and 17 we take together. Who heals? Not I. Not the physician, nature. Physician is the participant in the process of cure. I have done this. Oh, the ego. Terrible. The ego hinders. Surrender to the divine within promotes. You feel the divine before you can understand the divine. The mind, the lower mind, is the slayer of the real. The higher mind delivers us from ego. And this conjunction of manas with buddhi is what the physicians of earlier times had, intuitive perception. They had it. They felt it. They have said it, the real reality is there. Disturbed inner vitality is the philosophical root of illness. Whatever the extraneous factor responsible in the environment, it is the morbidly affected vital force that alone produces diseases. Aphorism 12. When the ebb and flow of vital energy grows irregular, prana is disturbed, life energy is disturbed. It is called bioenergy nowadays. Life energy, bioenergy. It spells sickness, nothing less, and an ineradicable except to similarity of action. The earliest evidence of disease is disorderly vital action. Disease is essentially intrinsic and not extrinsic. We say cold weather has got the cold. It is only a trigger mechanism. Environment is a trigger mechanism. Inner environment is the real cause. Inner environment of soul and spirit, the environment of the psyche is the inner cause. Its evolution is centrifugal from within outward, from the center to the periphery. Its expansion is centripetal from the periphery to the center. And now Paracelsus, we have already seen that. The spirit of the elements, the spirit of stars, astral body. Remember, we are all connected by invisible electromagnetic threads. What you are thinking affects me, what I am thinking affects you. What I am feeling, what I am speaking, what I am acting affects the entire universe. We are all united. And you will be surprised to mind, all is organic conscious, everything, the atom is organic conscious. What we do on earth, a stirring of a flower affects a different star. Therefore the self-responsibility of the mind, the human mind, terrible responsibility of what you think, constant vigilance is required, so that we align our all the elements of our whole nature in the healing of the sick. And the thirdly is the divine spirit, which is called devoidness. There is a pamphlet on cosmic mind. You can please read it. Knowledge is terrible. Explosion of knowledge is there now, but we don't know ourselves. Man, know thyself is the Delphic oracle. And here we are. We don't know. I don't know myself. I don't know who am I. I don't even question it. What happens? We have knowledge, but wisdom is lacking. The synthesis. You also have the synthesis of science, religion, philosophy. That is lacking. Because there is no philosophy in allopathy. But mind you, ethics are mentioned in textbook of internal medicine by Harrison, a big fat book. Now in 3 volumes. Expansion doesn't mean knowledge, please. Doesn't mean wisdom. Going through the pages and pages and pages does not make a man wise. But truly living and acting on the basis of fundamentals of the universe will make us in utter humility bow before the wisdom of the ancients. And we today, we don't even think of that. Very sorry to say, modern physicians are totally lacking in philosophy. Handful. And if the nurse, the chambers are full or overfull, doctors are dying very young. Some of them. And we have not made any provisions in old age. We have to do it in youth. What is going to happen? Alzheimer's disease. Dementia. Whereas the philosopher physicians of old died in harness. In action. These are some of the ideas on philosophy. Remember, if you have a pain in the ear, it is not the pain in the ear, the whole organ is affected. That means it is holistic. So how will you define homeopathy? And how will you define man? These are the things. Homeopathy is a science, is an art based on science, founded on philosophy. It is not given in any textbook of homeopathy, but it has been framed by a student and gives a composite idea of what art based on science founded on philosophy. Hahnemann defines homeopathy as a medicine of pure experience. He appeals to experience. You experience the reality behind the form. You know yourself, you know everything. Without knowing ourselves, we cannot know anything. And this knowing ourselves is a process of time for which we have to be patient, perseverance, and faith. Faith in the healer who is within. The healer outside is an instrument. I treat, he cures. There was a physician who used to have his label here. I treat, he cures. And move about. Homeopathic physician. But that is another story. We shall have questions. We have 7 minutes. We can go on and on, but from the questions we will bring out the certain other areas of radiation, other methods of treatment, for example, mesmerism, magnetism, flower remedies of Robert Bach, apart from homeopathy, biochemistry by Schuessler, surgery, what is the place of surgery, what is the effect of local treatment, all these varieties of treatments are secondary. There is a place in it, we are rational physicians, remember, we don't use our mind and work on abstract things. Vital force is not visible, we don't believe it. Say in an allopathic physician, don't believe it, but it is there. When your belief does not do away with the fact, which experience we will do when we become that. We cannot know the reality till we become it. To become, you have to observe. You have to slog day and night. 12 hours, 15 hours. We do study for examination time. Bulky books, going through all those things. But we lay ourselves at the feet of the teacher who gives us knowledge. That knowledge will go because of consubstantiality. From the teacher, knowledge goes from a higher level at the lower level, like water.
How did this homeo?
Homeo means similar, and pathos, pathy means suffering. Homeopathy, suffering, and homeo, similar suffering. You give a drug similar to the suffering patient. That is homeopathy. These are the different things, you see, where life repel and unlike force attract. Further will be a difficult thing for the layman to understand. Allopathy means the other pathy. Other, allo means the other. And antipathy means the opposite. If you have acidity, you give alkali. If you are alkaline, you give acidity. You get the point to neutralize. So the law of antipathy and sympathy. Law of centripetal and centrifugal force, the law of similarity, the similar repel, like repel, yes.
You talked about the law of similarity, but if the law of the disease added, it doesn't add, it
adds into the energy. It does, that is what is being, so much of being crude drugs are being poured into the system, which will vitiate the vital force. So that, therefore, we usually similar homeopaths don't mix up. We will not give, say, antibiotics for all infections like typhoid, like malaria. We will not mix up quinine with homeopathy. Therefore, it is homeopathy itself which is to be given, except in certain very bad cases of falciparum malaria, you get the point. Then, if the vital force is overwhelmed, drowning, what will you do? You are not going to homeopathic remedy. You will give resuscitation measures. Resuscitation measures, you know. You will give the pumping, the heart, and all that thing. A drowning man, you have to use resuscitation, not homeopathy. So you have to be rational. There is ancillary measure, extra remedial measures can be obtained. There is acute abdomen, perforation of the appendix. Don't play with homeopathy. Give to the surgeon. Surgery has the right place in the scheme of things. In fact, everything in nature has the right place in the scheme of things. Nothing is fortuitous. There is a design in the seemingly blindless forces of nature. Designed by the divine mind, of which the human mind is an emanation. Therefore, you have to discriminate. A foreign body in the eye, you have to remove it. Don't say, I will give homeopathy. If there is an abscess on the surface, you can give homeopathy. If the foreign body on the surface, you will give homeopathy. Pipa, salt, silica, enagalis, all these remedies are there. If there is a foreign body in the liver, in the lung, and there is an abscess, you have to be careful. If you give the homeopathic remedy, the abscess may burst inside and produce damage. Foreign body has to be removed by surgery. Internal abscess has to be treated by drainage. A fluid in the lung has to be tapped out, you see, drainage. Rationality is not lost in our fanatical attachment to homeopathy. the human being before us, suffering is above all pathies. Give oxygen when there is breathlessness. If the lung is paralyzed, pumping power is gone, the electricity is paralyzed, we have to give the resuscitation methods of today. That is why, because of this terminal cases, because of these complications of many diseases, the same person, that the treatment becomes so complicated, so costly, phenomenal cost. If the thought process is stabilized, we can do a lot of things for the patient. Technological advance and complications of diseases, that they don't come to the physician. They don't come at the first stage of cancer to the patient, to the homeopathic physician, because of the tremendous propaganda. Awful propaganda, every newspaper, this, that, in the newspapers. You see the advertisement of doctors on this thing. Whenever they go out, they advertise, no? Falana falana doctor, jani tane jumna doctor, bahar gaila se, ave pashi aushe pasha, avela se. So, the propaganda in allopathic is tremendous, but pharmaceutical agents, the pharmacies are driving the mind of the physicians. This is well known by very serious thinkers among the physicians, that the pharmacological industry is thriving in USA, everywhere, and there is a cases are going on against doctors and all those things in America, you see, tremendous. These pharmacists who are driving the physicians, new remedies, new drugs, spending millions of dollars. Now our time is up and we shall close with look at this, what William Gutman says, one of the great physicians, and Hippocrates. Look what Hippocrates says. Holy things are revealed only to holy men. Hippocrates is the founder of medicine, the father of modern medicine. He talks of holiness. I've never heard of holiness in my 50 years of life. Purity. Father of modern medicine talks of purity. Homeopathy can be practiced on intelligent patients by intelligent physicians. Therefore, all Tom, Dick and Harry never knocks at our door. An intelligent man can be educated, and this is what Plato says, you have to educate the man, the patient before you. You have to see his thinking and put it along the straight lines. Education is essential for the physician, and he has to be well versed in the contemporary knowledge of his times, paramedical sciences. He must be well versed in that. Thank you.